Amen. All right, well, we're there in Leviticus chapter number 11. And tonight I am preaching a sermon on the subject of vaccines. The sermon is entitled The Truth About Vaccines. And of course, due to the coronavirus crisis that we're going through, there's been a lot of talk, much talk about vaccines. And I want to preach a sermon basically explaining what the Bible teaches about this and what we as Christians should believe about this. And let me just go ahead and start by clearly stating, as a Christian, I do not believe that we should vaccinate our children. So I'm going to be teaching you why that is and why I've came to that position from the Word of God. And for some of you, this is something you've studied and you know about, and it's good for you to hear it again and review it. For others of you, maybe you've never heard this before, and I want you to pay attention. I want you to follow along in the Bible. I want you to take notes if you're able to, and I'm going to give you some reasons why we should not vaccinate our children. And of course, I'll just go ahead and give you point number one, and we'll see it here in Leviticus 11. I believe that you should not vaccinate because vaccines are unclean. And the Bible clearly teaches that there are certain things that God does not want us to be near or to come in contact with, and vaccines expose you to things that God wants us to avoid. Now, what are the things that God wants us to avoid? Well, the first thing is that God wants us to avoid death, or God wants us to avoid things that are dead. And in Leviticus chapter 11, we just read the entire chapter. We could go through and just highlight every single verse where God is talking about a dead carcass being unclean and how he doesn't want you to touch a dead carcass. I'm not going to go through all the passage, all the verses in the passage just to make the point, but because there's lots of things I want to cover tonight. But just to show you, look down at verse number 35 there, Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 35. The Bible says this, and everything whereupon any part of their carcass, all right, so a carcass is obviously the dead body of an animal. He says, any part of their carcass falleth shall be unclean. So he says, when an animal falls over dead, whatever it touches, God says it's unclean, whether it be oven or ranges for pots, they shall be broken down. He says, look, you, if an animal falls over something and it's dead, he says, just get rid of it. Just break it down, for they are unclean and shall be unclean unto you. Notice verse 36. Nevertheless, a fountain or pit wherein there is plenty of water shall be clean, but that which toucheth their carcass shall be unclean. And this is, again, if you read the whole chapter, you'll see it over and over and over again, where God says a carcass, something that's dead, is unclean. And God tells us he doesn't want us touching things that are dead, doesn't want us touching things that are unclean. And vaccines, they expose you to the things that God wants you to avoid. So what are the things that God wants you to avoid? Well, the first thing is that God wants you to avoid anything that's dead. Any carcass of an animal, he says, don't touch it. And if it touches anything, get rid of it. It's unclean. You don't want to be near it. The other thing that God wants us to steer clear from, and we've been talking a lot about this over the last several weeks, is disease. Now, you're there in Leviticus 11. Just flip over to Leviticus chapter 13, which is becoming an infamous chapter, of course. Leviticus 13, I've preached a lot out of Leviticus 13 recently, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time in here, but I will show you just one verse. Leviticus 13, 46, the Bible says this, all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, and this is, of course, talking about leprosy, which is an infectious plague, he shall be defiled, he is unclean. Notice, he shall dwell alone, without the camp shall his habitation be. So God says, look, there are two things I want you to avoid. I want you to avoid death. I want you to avoid the carcass of a dead animal, the body of a dead animal. And he says, I want you to avoid disease. If there's an infectious disease like leprosy, here's the example. He says, then they need to dwell alone without the camp. They need to get away from people because I want you to avoid disease. Now, here's the reason I bring this up. Vaccines actually expose you to the two things that God tells you to avoid. God says avoid death. God says avoid disease. And basically, when you take a vaccine and inject it into your body or into the body of your children, you are infecting them. You are injecting them with a dead virus, with a virus and with a parts of animals that are dead. Now, I'm going to just read to you a lot of things tonight from different websites. And I'm going to start with this article about the ingredients that make up vaccines. And I want you to know that I'm reading to you from a website called healthychildren.org. And this is a pro-vaccine website. So this is not a, anti-vax website. This is a website that's pro-vaccines. This is them telling you just what is in vaccines. And they give a list of things that are in vaccines. The first thing is a weakened live virus. And here's how they explain it. They say they are too weak to cause disease, but can still prompt an immune response. Measles, mumps, rubella, rotavirus, chickenpox, and one type of influenza vaccine contained weakened live viruses. So when you take any of those vaccines, measles, mumps, rubella, chickenpox, some influenzas, you're injecting in your body a live virus. But God tells us he wants us to avoid plagues. God tells us he wants us to avoid disease. So think about this. If God says, hey, when there's someone who has an infectious disease, I want you to avoid them. If somebody has leprosy, I want you to put them out. They need to dwell alone without the camp. Do you think that God would then be okay with us saying, well, let's take that disease and let's actually inject it into our bodies? But that's what a vaccine does. It will inject a weakened live virus, or sometimes it'll be an inactivated virus, which means a killed virus or a virus that's dead. Here's how they explain that. These viruses, talking about an inactivated virus, cannot cause even a mild form of the disease, but the body still recognizes the virus and creates an immune response to protect itself. The polio, hepatitis A, influenza, and rabies vaccines contain inactivated viruses. So again, God says two things I want you to avoid, death and disease. And then scientists thought, I know what we'll do. We'll take a dead disease and inject it into the bloodstream of children. And this is something that God does not want us to do because of the fact that vaccines are unclean. They expose you to things that God wants you to avoid. Also, partial viruses, they said. These are made up of the specific parts of the dead virus that will prompt a protective immune response. Some vaccines are made this way, including hepatitis B and HPV vaccine. And then they also said partial bacteria are made up of the specific part of the dead bacteria that will prompt a protective immune response. Some vaccines are made this way, including the HIB, the pneumococcal, the meningococcal, the diphtheria, the tetanus, the pertussis, which is whooping cough vaccine. So here's what's interesting is that God says, I want you to avoid things that are dead. I want you to avoid things that have disease. And he says, these are unclean unto you. I don't want you near them. I want you to stay away from them. I want you to remove them from you when you come around them. But then vaccines are taking those two things, things that are dead or a virus that's alive or a virus that's dead or a partial virus that's dead, and then inject it into the bloodstream. And here's the idea is that if they take a disease, a weakened form of the disease, and they basically give you that disease, they infect you with it, but it's a weakened form, then your immune system can fight it. You can grow an immunity to it, and then you'll be immune from that vaccination. But the problem with it is that you're putting into your body things that are dead. And it's not just viruses that are dead. You're also putting into your body parts of dead animals. Here's from the healthychildren.org website. They said measles and mumps vaccines are made of chick embryo cells. So these are chicks that are dead, and they're taking the embryo cells and injecting them into your body. From the NCBI website, which is a government website, they said African green monkey kidney cells provide an alternative host cell system for influenza A and B viruses. And here's what they'll say. They'll say, well, we take these dead animal cells, and then we grow our vaccine on those cells, and then we take the vaccine and inject it into people. But of course, you're going to take parts of that animal into that vaccine, and they admit that. So what are they injecting in you when they inject a vaccine? They're injecting a virus, either a live virus or a dead virus. They're injecting into you parts of dead animals. And these are all things that God tells us to avoid. These are things God doesn't even want you touching them, you know, much less injecting them inside of you. So vaccines are unclean. We should avoid them because of the fact that they are unclean. But it goes further than that. And I'd like you to go with me to Psalm 139, if you would. If you open your Bible just right in the center, you'll more than likely fall in the book of Psalms. Go to Psalm 139. And let me just say this. Not only do these vaccines, are they unclean, but these vaccines actually weaken your immune system. Now, in Psalm 139 and verse 14, the Bible says this. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. The Bible says that God created us, and we are fearfully and wonderfully made. That God made us in a way that he gave us, and something that God gave us was an immune system to be able to fight off disease, to be able to fight off sickness, to be able to fight off these things. And we have came along and said, no, we can add to God's creation. God missed something. We can make it better by injecting a dead virus or a live virus or cells from a African green monkey or cells from dead animals, inject them into you, and that's going to make you healthier. But the truth is this, because vaccines are unclean, they actually weaken your immune system. Because aside from having viruses that are alive or dead and cells from dead animals, vaccines also have toxic metals. In their list of ingredients that they give, they say, here are some ingredients that vaccines have. Aluminum. Aluminum salt help your body create a better immune response to vaccines. Aluminum salts are necessary to make some of the vaccines we use more effective. And again, this is a pro-vaccine website, so they're speaking positively about these things. They say, without an adjuvant like aluminum, people could need more doses of shots to be protected. So here's what they say. They say, we've got to put the aluminum, we've got to put this toxic metal in the vaccine because it's going to keep you from having to get more vaccines. They'll say it'll make it last longer. But here's why they say that. Because of the fact that aluminum metal is used, because of the fact that your body cannot get rid of it. Your body tries to get rid of impurities. Your body, you have certain body functions that bring things out of you, but aluminum is not one of them. Metals are not one of them. Metals are not something that your body can get rid of, so they put the aluminum in there with the vaccine to make sure it stays, to make sure it sticks. But let me just give you a newsflash. Injecting metal into your body is not healthy, all right? Not only is aluminum used in vaccines, but mercury is used in vaccines. Here's what they said. They said almost all childhood vaccines do not contain any mercury. And it's funny because the way they write it, you know, they capital N, capital O, capital T, like, oh, what a relief. Listen to what they said. Almost all childhood vaccines do not contain any mercury. You know what that means? That means that there are some that do. They said thimerosal, a mercury-based preservative, was removed from, here's the key word, most childhood vaccines in 2001. You know what that means? Is that there's still some vaccines out there that have mercury. It is still present in some influenza vaccines. So when you go out and get your flu shot, you're injecting mercury into your body. Look, mercury is a poison. Mercury is a metal that will poison you. And here's what's funny. They'll tell you, be careful about eating fish because of mercury, but then they're going to inject it into your body. See, vaccines actually weaken your immune system. And they'll say, no, vaccines are actually helping you grow your immunity. And a website called Vaxplanation, and this is, of course, a pro-vaccine website. This is what they said. They said, vaccines are like a training exercise for your body. They use dead or damaged viruses to provoke an immune response without having to get sick, which is not true because if you take a flu shot, you're probably going to have the flu because they're injecting the flu into you. But they'll say, this is like a training exercise. exercise. This is going to help your immunity get better. Because they'll say, if you can fight a weakened form of the virus, then when the real virus comes, then you're going to be good to go. But here's the problem. That's actually a lie. Vaccines actually harm your immune system. Now, in order for you to understand that, you need to understand how God designed it. How did God design for our immunity to work and for us to be able to have to be immune? And here's how God designed it. God designed it in a way so that children who are the ones who actually have the best immunity and the best ability to fight off disease, children are actually supposed to be getting sick. They're supposed to be having those, chicken pox when they're little kids. They're supposed to be getting sick when they're children, because of the fact that they can recover, their immunity is strong, they can build up an immunity in their childhood. Children should be getting sick and through their childhood and building up a strong immunity so that they have a strong immunity when they need it the most, which is when they are older. They're supposed to develop an immunity when they can handle it the best, which is as children, so that they can then have it when they need it the most, which is as adults. You say, well, what about babies? Because the people that are getting vaccinated the most is little babies. I mean, just a few days after coming out of the womb, they're already infecting them with dead viruses and green monkey kidney cells and all sorts of things. What about babies? Well, here's how it's supposed to work. How it's supposed to work is this. You have a little girl who runs around and plays and gets sick and gets chicken pox and builds up a strong immune system. And that little girl one day grows up and becomes a young lady and she gets married and she has children. And then when she has those children, she's supposed to nurse those babies. She's supposed to breastfeed those babies. And guess what? She actually gives some of her immunity through that breast milk to the baby. So the baby who is a weak, these newborn babies who are at a weak and vulnerable stage in their life are supposed to receive immunity from their mothers. The sad thing is that a lot of times the babies aren't getting anything good from their mom's breast milk because their mom was vaccinated as a child. But the way it's supposed to work is that we build our immunities as children, and then moms will pass that along to their children as they are nursing them, and they'll protect them during those times in their life when they're weaker. And as the children get a little older, their immunity is actually the strongest it's probably going to be for their lives. Then they get sick, then they recover, then they build their immunity. That's the way it's supposed to work. Well, what's the problem with vaccines? Here's the problem. When you vaccinate children to keep them from getting sick, then you do not allow them to build a strong natural immunity. And the problem with vaccines, no matter how much mercury they put into it, no matter how much aluminum they put into it, even though that aluminum is going to be circling your body for the rest of your life because your body cannot get rid of it, vaccines eventually wear off. And you know when they wear off? When you are the most susceptible to disease as an adult. And the problem is that now you have a weakened immune system because you were vaccinated as a child and you never actually built up a natural strong immunity. And these vaccines that were supposedly protecting you have left you in at a place when you're the most vulnerable, when you're the most weak, with a weakened immune system. So vaccines are actually not helping the problem. They're hurting the problem. You should be building a strong immunity as a child. But even further than that, these vaccines are overloading and overwhelming babies with disease through the vaccines that they are receiving. And many of these babies are not being breastfed. And even if they are, they're not receiving immunity from their mothers because their moms are vaccinated or whatever. And this is the reason we're seeing a lot of problems with babies dying. Little babies are the ones that are being vaccinated the most. The Center of Disease Control and Prevention recommends 69 doses of 16 different vaccines between birth and age 18, with 49 vaccines given before the age of 6. So you're taking these little babies and you're injecting them with dead viruses, with partially dead bacteria, with monkey cells, and with chicken cells, and with other animal cells. You're injecting this into their body. They're not receiving immunity from their mom, because you did it to their mom too, and their mom doesn't have immunity. And then we start seeing all these problems with children who are being vaccinated, and we wonder, well, what's the problem? What's going on? Because God did not want you to inject aluminum into a little weak-old baby. God did not want you to inject mercury into a weak-old baby. God does not. Do you think that God is pleased with injecting green monkey kidney cells into a brand-new little beautiful baby? You're going to just inject it with disease, with terminated viruses? And look, in the United States is the highest vaccinated nation in the world. We vaccinate more, children per capita than any other country in the world. And it also has the highest mortality rate for infants is the United States of America. Infant mortality is higher in the U.S. than in any of the comparable countries, according to healthsystemtracker.org. Compared to rates in other developed countries, the U.S. SIDS rate remains high, according to NCEMC.org. And what is SIDS? You know, SIDS is basically what they, when you inject a child, inject a little baby with all sorts of metal and disease and animal cells, and then that baby dies, and they don't have a way to explain it, and they say, oh, it's just SIDS. You know, it just happened. We just don't know. It's just like they just died and we don't know why. And the U.S. vaccinates the most children, has the highest rate of SIDS, which is basically children just dying with no explanation. These things are connected. Look, God told us, God said, I don't even want you touching dead things. I don't want you being around things that are sick and diseased. I don't want you touching those things because those things are unclean. And then we've come along and said, oh, let's inject that into the bodies of our infants. Let's inject that into the body of our children. So if you want to know, you say, why should Christians not vaccinate? Well, number one, Christians should not vaccinate because vaccines are unclean. Vaccines have dead animal cells, dead viruses, live viruses, metals, toxic metals that are being injected into your body. And they're actually hurting your immunity, not helping it. And you know, if you look at children who have not been vaccinated, by and large, you'll find, and obviously there's always exceptions to the rule, but by and large, you'll find children that are much healthier than the kids that have been vaccinated. You know, I'm struggling with allergies right now, which is just an annual thing that happens, you know, this time of year. But I was in the U.S. Air Force and I got like a million vaccinations. I'm sure that's the reason I have, but you look at these kids that have not been vaccinated. Almost none of them suffer with allergies. Almost none of them have ear infections. Almost none of them have ever needed an antibiotic. Almost none of them have never even gone to a hospital because God gave them an immunity that is actually fearfully and wonderfully made. God did everything. God gave them everything they needed. And we come in like a Frankenstein doctor and start injecting them with cells from dead animals. This is not of God. Vaccines should be avoided by Christians because of the fact that they are unclean. But let me give you another reason. If you're there in Psalm 139, not only should we not vaccinate because vaccines are unclean, but we should not vaccinate because vaccines are unethical. You know, as Christians, we should be anti-abortion. The Bible teaches that life begins at conception. And I'm not going to take the time to preach that sermon. I've done that before and we can go to different places. But you're there in Psalm 139. Look at verse 14 again. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Notice verse 15. Notice what the psalmist said. He said, my substance. Notice he didn't say fetus. He didn't say embryo. He didn't say a blob of tissue. He said, my substance was not hid from thee. When I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, he said, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. He said, even before I was completely developed, even before I was completely complete, he said, yet being unperfect, and in thy books, all my members were written. He said, before I was even complete in my mother's womb, you already had a plan for me. You already had a blueprint for me. He says, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. He says, look, God was fashioning me. God was creating me. God was creating you before I even existed. He said, before the body parts were even there, he says, when as yet there was none of them, you, thine eyes did see my substance. Go to Jeremiah chapter number one. Jeremiah chapter number one. If you find the major prophets, you're going to find Isaiah, Jeremiah. If you're going from Psalms, you're going to go a little further towards the end of the Old Testament. Isaiah, Jeremiah. And do me a favor, just keep your place there. Because we're going to leave it and we're going to come back to it. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah 1, notice what the Bible says about Jeremiah. Notice what God said to Jeremiah. He said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. God said to Jeremiah, before I even created you in the belly, in the womb, he said, I knew thee. Notice, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Here we see God telling Jeremiah, not only did I create you, but I had a purpose for you before you were even formed. And look, the Bible is clear that children in the womb are creations of God. They were created by God. They are created with a purpose, with a plan. God loves them. They do not become a human after they've been in the womb for a certain amount of weeks. They do not become a human after they come out. The Bible says that from the moment that they are conceived, God considers them a child. God, you can, and again, we won't take the time to run all the references, but you can cross-reference scripture where God talks about a virgin conceiving, talking about Mary, and then the Bible says that she's with child. Why? Because conception is a child. You say, well, what does this have to do with vaccines? As Christians, we should be anti-abortions. Well, here's the thing. Vaccines are developed using aborted babies. So look, if as a Christian, I take the position that I am anti-abortion, but then I sit there and say, but I'm okay with vaccines. That's a contradictory position. You cannot be anti-abortions and for vaccines because of the fact that vaccines are developed using aborted babies. So it's not just dead viruses. It's not just parts of dead viruses. It's not just live viruses. It's not just monkey cells and chicken cells and other animal cells. It's not just metal. It's not just mercury and aluminum. It's also cells from a human being because vaccines are developed using aborted babies. Here's from a website called CHOP-EDU. And again, this is a pro-vaccination website. This is called Vaccine Ingredients. And it's talking about fetal tissue. They say varicella, which is chickenpox, rubella, which is the R in the MMR vaccine, hepatitis A, and one preparation of the rabies vaccines are all made by growing the viruses in fetal embryo fibroblast cells. Two combination vaccines available in the U.S. also contain polio vaccine virus grown in fetal cells, the pentacell and the quadricell. Fibroblast cells are the cells needed to hold skin and other connective tissue together. The fetal embryo fibroblast cells used to grow vaccine viruses were first obtained from elective termination of two pregnancies, aka abortions, in the early 1960s. These same embryonic cells obtained from the early 1960s have continued to grow in the laboratory and are used to make vaccines today. No further source of fetal cells are needed to make these vaccines. And let me just say this. This is what they go to. Because I was reading a lot of websites. It's hard to find anti-vaccine websites because they're all being shut down. But, you know, but it's easy to find. You just Google anti-vaccine and you have all these government websites, all these other websites that are pro-vaccines telling you why, you know, the anti-vaccine websites are wrong that you can't even find because Google is hiding them because Google won't let you find them. But, you know, you have all these websites defending themselves. And here's what they'll say. They'll say people that are anti-abortions, basically they need to just stop worrying about this because they'll say vaccines are made off of two aborted babies back in the 1960s. It was a long time ago. You know, you need to just get over it and stop saying that vaccines have aborted babies in them. Well, here's the thing. if you're growing the cell on these aborted babies, when you remove the vaccine, you're going to take some of those cells. It is accurate to say that when you're injecting these certain vaccines into your body, you're injecting human cells from an aborted baby. Number one. Number two, there is evidence that suggests that they are still using aborted babies to produce vaccines and just lying about it. And I'm not going to get into all that, but I'll just say this. Even if it's true that they're only using two aborted babies in the 1960s, that still matters. Those are still lives. It doesn't matter. You say, oh, well, we killed them like 40 years ago. You still killed them. You say, well, we didn't kill them for the purpose of vaccines. You still killed them. They're still human beings that you are using in your twisted plan to create vaccines. Look, vaccines are unclean. You shouldn't put those in your infant's body just to not put. Look, why would you want to put dead cells from an animal into your baby? But also, vaccines are unethical. Many of these vaccines are developed using aborted babies. And if you as a Christian and if I, as a Christian, am going to take a stand that says we're anti-abortion, we're not for abortion for any reason, then you know what? That includes vaccines. Amen. And we should not vaccinate because vaccines are unethical because they're being created off of the backs of these two babies that were killed in the 1960s. And honestly, there is a lot of evidence that suggests that they're still using aborted babies. They just keep referring you to these two. Because it was a really long time ago. Like, that's supposed to make it better. So why should we not vaccinate? Number one, you should not vaccinate because of the fact that vaccines are unclean. And number two, you should not vaccinate because of the fact that vaccines are unethical. If you as a Christian are anti-abortions, then you need to be anti-vaccines because vaccines are developed using aborted babies. But let me give you a third reason why we should not vaccinate, and it's this, because vaccines are uncertain. You're there in Jeremiah, flip back to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter number 35. In Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 3, we are told, the Bible tells us this, it says, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. We are commanded to strengthen the hands of the weak and to confirm. You see the word firm there and the word confirm? That means to fortify the feeble knees. Now, let me ask you something. Is there anything more weak and more feeble in our society than a newborn baby? I mean, is there any, if this verse apply, and I don't think this verse is just talking about babies. This talks to anyone that's weak. We should try to strengthen them. We should try to help them. We should try to not hurt them, which is honestly, and I realize this is not a popular position, but it's one of the reasons that I think, hey, you know, this idea where people say about the coronavirus, well, it's only killing old people. Do they not matter? I mean, we're supposed to strengthen the weak, the Bible says. We're supposed to confirm the needs of the feeble. But look, is there anything more weak or feeble than a little baby? And today, people are vaccinating their children. But the problem is this. Vaccines are very uncertain. There are risks that you are taking when you vaccinate your children. You say, well, how can you prove that? There's no studies that prove that. Here's the thing. The studies are done by the vaccine companies, and they have all this proof of all of the injury that vaccines are having upon children, and they choose not to study it, and they choose not to report on it, and then they say, therefore, it doesn't exist. Just because you ignore something doesn't mean it doesn't exist. You say, well, then what proof is there that that vaccines are hurting children? Well, here's something you could Google. It's a government agency called National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. Let me read to you a little bit from their website. How does the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program work? The National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program is a no-fault, all right, remember that, no-fault alternative to the traditional legal system for resolving vaccine injury petitions. It was created in the 1980s after lawsuits against vaccine companies and healthcare providers threatened to cause vaccine shortages and reduce U.S. vaccination rates, which could have caused the resurgence of vaccine-preventable diseases against this. This is a pro-them website, so they're putting this in a positive light. But basically, here's what happened. The United States government passed a law that said you are not allowed to sue a company that produces vaccines because those vaccines injured your child or injured a family member. You're not allowed to sue them. But there's all these people being injured by vaccines. So then the government created a government agency that will basically pay you money to shut you up. But here's the key. It's a no-fault alternative to traditional legal systems. They'll say, we'll pay you to shut you up, but we're not admitting to the fact that we've actually hurt you in any way. In fact, you're not even getting money from the vaccine company. You're getting money from the government because you're not even allowed to sue the vaccine company. You say, well, how many people are actually being hurt and how much money is actually being paid out? The National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986 established the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program as a federal no-fault system, This is a government agency to compensate persons or family of persons who are injured by covered childhood vaccines has paid out over $2.8 billion to families whose children have died or suffered other adverse reactions. So on one hand, they're telling you vaccines are safe. No one's getting hurt. There's no study to prove it. But then on the other hand, they're paying $2.8 billion to families whose children have died or suffered from adverse reactions of vaccines and saying, shut up and go away. They go on to say this. The vaccine injury death payout since 1989, $2.8 billion paid so far, a total of $3.1 billion if you include attorney fees. If you look at the past 5 years, you will see an average of $221 million paid out per year in comparison to the complete 26 years since 1989, the average of $120 million. That means that in the past 5 years, the past 5 years have nearly doubled in damages paid out. Look, vaccines are causing injury, and the scientists refuse to admit it. They refuse to study it. But look, you can do your own research. You can watch documentaries. You can just Google this online. And you know what you'll find? You'll find story after story after story of people telling you about how their children were injured by vaccines. And then the doctors will say, oh, well, they weren't injured by vaccines. There's no proof of that because no doctor's actually willing to look at it. But look, when you watch a video of a little baby who is being recorded on a phone by their mom and dad, and you see the little baby, and the baby's making eye contact with mom and dad are making little googly noises, and the baby's laughing, and the baby's interacting with them, and that video just happens to be taken the day before that baby got vaccinated, and then the next day they have video, and the baby's just like unresponsive, not making eye contact. Not, you know, the mom tries to make eye contact and kind of avoids. And you just have story after story after story after story after story of that exact same thing. You're going to sit there and tell me it wasn't the vaccine. I mean, when you've got these stories of these young teenage girls, they're athletic, they're smart, they're in school, they're doing well. They walk in because some doctor tells them they need some HPV vaccine for a sexually transmitted disease when they're not even being active in that. And then these girls, they get this shot and literally some of them go into seizures the moment they get the shot. Some of them, a couple of hours later, a couple of days later, are paralyzed, are bedridden, are just vomiting violently. Just story after story after story after story, where you can find a young girl who says, "I was healthy, I was fine, I got this shot, and within a couple of days, I couldn't walk, I was paralyzed." And then the government's giving them money. But we're supposed to believe that these vaccines are not causing injury. Look, when you put metal in a child, when you put dead viruses in a child, it's going to cause problems. The CDC estimates that autism CDC increases estimate of autism prevalence by 15% to 1 in 59 children. The new estimate represents a 15% increase in prevalence nationally to the 1 in 59 children from 1 in 68 2 years previously. Look, as the doses are being increased, the recommendations being increased of the vaccines given to children, as they increase, also autism baptism rates increase, also SIDS increases, also all these other health problems where they say, I don't know what's happening, I don't know what's going on. They're all increasing. Why? Because of the fact that there are risks to vaccinating children and vaccinating anybody because vaccines cause injury. I mean, just think about this. Think about the fact, just think about the fact that the government passed a law that said you cannot sue a vaccine company. And in fact, they'll say, if there's compelling evidence, we're not admitting anything, but if there's compelling evidence, like we gave you a shot and you immediately went into seizures, and when you came out of the seizures, you were paralyzed, then we'll just give you money and ask you to shut up, to go away, and we're not going to admit to any fault. We're going to keep putting out studies that say that there's nothing happened, nothing to see here. All right? Think about this. What if I opened up a restaurant and every meal that I served in that restaurant, I just put a little bit of poison? I mean, would you eat it? If I told you, hey, it's no problem. It's just green monkey kidney cells and, you know, chick embryo cells, and I put a little bit of mercury and you know, some live viruses, some dead viruses. It's not going to hurt you, though. Okay? But what if I put just one in every 100? There was enough poison in that meal to cause brain damage, to make someone go paralyzed, or to kill somebody? I mean, think about if I open a restaurant, I'm feeding 100 people every day, and one out of those 100 people, I mean, they're all taking poison, but one out of 100, we just kind of sprinkled a little too much of that aluminum in there, and they eat the meal, and they go paralyzed. Oh, you say, wow, that would be terrible. Okay, but what if the government made a law that said, you can't sue me? I mean, would we stand for that? Would we be like, oh, that's fine. No big deal. And here's what people would say. Well, you can eat wherever you want. Okay, what if the government began to promote my restaurant? What if the government began to say, well, if you want to be on this welfare program, you got to eat at this restaurant. Oh, you want us to give you money? You got to eat at this. What if they began to push people? You want to go to my public school? You got to eat at this restaurant. Would we be okay with that? But that's exactly what's happening with these vaccine companies. When you put that needle in a child, you're playing Russian roulette with the health of your child. And the government is basically protecting them, saying you can't sue them, and then promoting them by saying, oh, you want this government benefit? You want that government benefit? You want this welfare program? You want that welfare program? You want to be part of our public school system? Then you've got to get vaccinated. That would be the same thing. Okay, imagine if I had a restaurant, I'm putting poison. Every 100th meal is paralyzing somebody, killing somebody, creating brain damage. The government passes a law that says you can't sue me. The government then even promotes my restaurant by connecting it to other government agencies and making it a requirement in order to get those things. And then imagine if the government one day passes a law that just says everyone has to eat at this restaurant. I mean, if we allow the government to pass a law that mandates vaccines for everyone, that's what we're doing. We are basically allowing the government, we're allowing the government, go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6, find the T books, they're all clustered together, 1 Second Thessalonians, 1 Second Timothy, Titus, 1 Timothy chapter 6, we're allowing the government to allow these companies who are poisoning people, who are injuring people, and they're saying you can't sue them, and we're going to force you to take their product. You wouldn't put up with that for a restaurant. But yet many of us, many Americans and many even Christians are putting up with it with vaccines. You say, well, why? Why would they allow for that? Well, it's one reason, the love of money. Right. 1 Timothy chapter 6, look at verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. I mean, for the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all. You say, how do I find out the reason for all the evil in the world? Just follow the money. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Here's an article from globalresearch.ca. It's called Big Pharma and Big Profits, a multi-billion dollar vaccine market. Here's what it says. The business of vaccines is soon to become a major source of profits for the world's largest pharmaceutical corporations. A press release From Business Wire, this was on January 21st, 2016, so several years ago, published by themarketwatch.com, says that Technavio, one of the leading technology research and advisory companies in the world, predicts that pharmaceutical corporations will produce vaccines, who produce vaccines will reach an estimated $6.1 billion in profits by 2020, and that's before the coronavirus. Today, the vaccine market is worth close to $24 billion. That was back in 2016. Why would the government allow for the system to even exist? Because of one reason, the love of money. Right. And here's the thing, vaccines don't even work. Because they lower your immune system, they don't even work. I'll give you an example. Back in 2014, there was a big scare with the vaccines because of a measles outbreak that started out in Disneyland here in California. I'll read to you. This is from an article from the San Jose Mercury News. The contentious debate over what opponents have dubbed the V word was spurred by a measles outbreak that began in Disneyland in December and ultimately spread to 18 states, where it has infected 159 people, including 134 in California. And here's what's interesting. This is what they say. Health state officials say 57 were not vaccinated. And this was a big story. They had this measles outbreak. They said 159 people have been infected, and 57 of them were not vaccinated. They tried to villainize and demonize these 57 people, saying they weren't vaccinated, and that's a problem. But here's what's funny about that: when you have 159 people that were not vaccinated for measles, you had 159 people that got it, and 57 of them were not vaccinated. You know what that means? 102 of them were vaccinated and still got it. So why are you making a big deal? Here's the headline is 57 people weren't vaccinated and they got measles. Here's what the story should be. 102 of them were vaccinated and they still got it. Because it doesn't work. Because it lowers your immune system. Because you cannot make better what God has already created. We were wonderfully and fearfully made, and you cannot do better than God. And the only reason for this system even being in place is one system, is one reason, and it's money. It's the love of money. And that's it. Because none of us would put up with this if it was a restaurant. None of us would put up with it if it was any other government. You say, well, why should we not? Why should we not vaccinate? Well, because vaccines are unclean. And because vaccines are unclean, you say, what does that mean by that? They're injecting viruses into your body. They're injecting dead viruses. They're injecting parts of dead viruses. They're injecting parts of dead bacteria. They're injecting dead animal cells, green monkey kidney cells. I mean, doesn't that sound good? They're injecting this in your body. They're injecting aluminum. They're injecting mercury. Because vaccines are unethical. They are injecting cells from aborted babies. And because vaccines are uncertain, there's a huge risk you're taking with these vaccines because they do injure people and they don't even work. And the only reason that they're even allowed, that this system's even allowed, is because it's good money. Because they make good money doing it and they pay off the government to do it. Now go back to Leviticus chapter 13. And let me just kind of finish up, and we're not even close to being done, so I'm not trying to encourage you there. But I wanted to give you the three reasons why you shouldn't vaccinate. And let me just finish up by giving you some kind of some concluding thoughts when it comes to the vaccine issue. And first of all, let's just talk about God's plan for disease control. Because God is smart. I don't know if you know that. God's already thought these things through. God already has told us what to do. And, let me just say this, and I'm going to prove it to you from the Bible. We've already seen some of these verses, but let me just be clear. God has a disease control prevention plan that's better than the CDC, and it's laid out for us in Scripture. You say, what is it? Well, number one, he gave you an immune system. So, of course, he already gave you an immune system. You shouldn't hinder your immune system. You shouldn't play with your immune system. You should just allow what God has already given you to work. But you know what? In the Bible, there is a disease control plan in the Bible. You know what it is? It's called quarantines and cleanliness. Leviticus chapter 13, are you there? We've seen these verses, but let's look at them again. Verse 21, but if the priests look on it, and behold, there be no white hairs therein, and if it be not lower than the skin, but be somewhat dark, then the priest shall shut him up. That's a quarantine. Notice verse 26, but if the priests look on it, and behold, there be no white hair in the bright spot, and it be no lower than the other skin, but be somewhat dark, then the priest shall shut him up. You know what that is? That's a quarantine. Look at verse 46. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. You know what that is? That's a quarantine. Without the camp shall his habitation be. You know what God says? You say, how does God want us to deal with disease? Does he want us to inject our children with all this garbage from a vaccine? No. You know, God's plan for dealing with disease is quarantine and cleanliness. Look at verse 6, same chapter, Leviticus 13. And the priest shall look on him again the seventh day. And behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread not in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is but a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. Look at verse 34. And in the seventh day, the priest shall look on the skull. And behold, if the skull be not spread in the skin, nor be in the sight deeper than the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean and shall wash his clothes and be clean. Look at verse 58. And the garment, either the warp or the wolf or whatsoever thing of skin it be, which thou shalt wash, if the plague be departed from them, then it shall be washed the second time and shall be clean. You know what God's quarantine, what God's plan for disease control is? It's quarantine and it's cleanliness. You know what has gotten the world through major disease throughout history? Quarantines and cleanliness. You know that no vaccine has actually ever stopped a plague? I mean, do the research. All the major plagues, the smallpox or the Spanish flu or whatever. Because look, it takes time to develop vaccines. That's why they're not vaccinating us for the coronavirus right now, because it usually takes years to do it. They're putting it on some special plan where they think they're going to do it in a year, but it takes time to do it. So you know what? Whenever there's been plagues throughout history, you know what they've always done in order to stop it? Because it works, they do quarantines and cleanliness. And by the way, God's the one who gave us the plan. That's why I don't really understand the mentality of Christians. The government says, hey, let's not be around each other to not spread disease, and let's wash our hands. And Christians are like, no, you're taking away my liberties. It's like, that's God's plan for disease control, quarantine, and cleanliness. You're fighting the wrong battle. You know what battle you need to be fighting? The one where they're trying to put metal into your child. The one where they're trying to put dead monkey cells and dead baby cells into your child. That's the battle we should be fighting. God's plan for disease control is quarantine and cleanliness. That's what solved the black plague. That's what solved every plague. You know why? Because it works. You know why the government's doing it right now? Because it works. That's why they're doing it. And look, instead of fighting quarantines and cleanliness, which is actually biblical, why don't you just get on board with it? And maybe we can beat this coronavirus thing before the vaccine comes out, which is what we actually should be fighting. And then there won't be any reason for the vaccine. Then the push for mandated vaccination will be less. They'll have less motive, or they'll have less energy behind it. They'll have less power to do it if coronavirus is gone. But God said, look, God said that the way that we deal with disease is quarantine and cleanliness. And look, is there anything sinful or wrong? Is there anything that makes you just think? Because when I think of putting mercury, aluminum, dead green monkey kidney cells, chick embryo cells, dead aborted baby cells, live viruses, dead viruses, parts of dead viruses, parts of dead bacteria. When I think of putting that into my little beautiful baby daughter, I don't like that idea. It just kind of grosses me out. When I think of washing my daughter's hand, there's no fear there. When I think of, oh, let's just have the kids not be around people because they might spread disease, there's no fear there. God's plan for disease control is quarantine and cleanliness. And look, we need to fight the battle of the forced vaccines. That's the battle we should be fighting. And people want to act today like they're all big and tough because they're going to fight. You know, you're going to die on the wrong hill. Why don't you just be okay with what God said is what he wants, which is the disease control plan from the Bible, quarantine and cleanliness, and then let's fight the battle of forced vaccines. Go to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. Last book in the New Testament, should be fairly easy to find. I've been talking about vaccinations, but I want to talk about forced vaccinations. And this is not something that's happened yet, but it's something that we are all concerned about. Something that we see coming. This idea where they might force us. Hillary Clinton, when she ran for president, and thank the Lord she lost. But when she ran, she said, if I'm president, I will pass a law that forces vaccines, upon the entire nation, federally. And here's what you need to know about forced vaccines, okay? And people, they like to go crazy with these things. And I've heard people say, vaccines are the mark of the beast, okay? That is not true, all right? The mark of the beast, God talks about the fact there's going to be an image. People are going to worship the image, you know, all those things. Receiving a mark in your hand, or in your forehead is not the mark. If you've been vaccinated, you didn't receive the mark of the beast, okay, accidentally, all right? When you take the mark of the beast, you're going to know it, all right? So vaccines are not the mark of the beast. But I will say this, forced vaccination legislation will lay the groundwork for the mark of the beast. Because the mark of the beast, look at it, Revelation 13, look at verse 16. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the name of his image. So notice, the mark of the beast is something that goes in, not on, in the right hand or in the forehead, is what the King James Bible says. And look at verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. And of course, that's 666. One day, they're going to put a mark in you, and they're in your hand or in your forehead. And look, legislation that gives government powers to put vaccines in you are not the mark of the beast, but they're definitely laying the groundwork for that, for the government to have the power to put something in you. Look, the government should have no power over your body. The Bible says that our body does not even belong to us. It is a temple of the Holy Ghost. No, you're not. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. He says, you're not your own, but you're bought with a price. The government should not be allowed to do anything, to force us to do anything, to take anything in our body. And forced vaccination legislation would lay the groundwork for the mark of the beast. So, you know, what do you do? Let's say they pass the law. What do? You don't obey. You don't do it. Acts 5:28, you don't have to turn though, I'll just read it for you. We've read it a lot recently. Saying, did not we straightly command you that you should not teach in his name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, intent to bring this man's blood upon us. This is, of course, the Pharisees forbidding the early church from preaching. And then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Look, we ought to obey the government if whatever they ask us to do, as long as they're not asking us to sin. But the minute they ask us to sin, then we obey our higher authority, which is God. So you say, well, if they pass forced vaccination, what are you going to do? You disobey it. You know, whatever that means, if it means you have to, pay a fine, if it means you have to lie. You say, oh man, are you for lying? One of these days I'm going to preach a sermon. I might do it soon, where I talk about times in the Bible where God's okay with you lying. And one of them is when you're protecting someone from something that could harm them. And I would definitely put vaccines in that, you know. So if we got to pay a doctor to lie and say that, you know, I don't know. We don't know how it's going to work out, but we know this, that you disobey because we ought to obey God rather than men. Because, look, let me break it to you. The government telling you to wash your hands is not asking you to sin. The government asking you to stay home is not asking you to sin. The government asking you to put dead baby cells into your body is asking you to sin. So you obey God rather than men. You disobey the rule. And look, all throughout the Bible, you find examples. The midwives disobeyed Pharaoh when he told them to kill the babies of the children of Israel. Daniel disobeyed the king when he was told he could not pray. All throughout the Bible, we have examples where when the government asks you to do something that is wrong against the laws of God, as believers, we disobey. We stand up with Peter and say we ought to obey God rather than men. But let me just end by saying this. And go to Mark chapter 2, if you would. Mark chapter 2. This is hypothetical, right? Because it hasn't happened yet. Now, we see the telltale signs coming. And if they do allow for forced vaccination, that legislation would lay the groundwork for the mark of the beast. And if that happens, you disobey. We obey God rather than men. Look, the Bible trumps the Constitution every time. The Bible trumps government laws every time. But let's talk about, well, what should we do now? Because here's the thing, the laws haven't passed. So what are things that we can do right now to kind of maybe just even keep that from happening? Well, number one, you ought to speak out. You ought to let your voice be heard. That's why I'm even preaching the sermon. And you should as well. You should, you know, don't be one of these closet, you know, I'm anti-vaccines, but I don't want people to think I'm weird, so I'm not going to tell anybody. Let people think you're weird and just speak out about this issue. You know, share this sermon. Let people know. Whenever we are allowed to speak out about the issue, we should speak out about the issue and let our voice be heard that we are not okay with vaccines. And look, as a Christian, I want to say, hey, government, I'll comply, I'll help, I'll do whatever I can. If it means that we can't have 200 people show up to church on Sunday morning in order to save lives and not spread disease, I'll comply until you ask me to sin. Then I'm going to not obey. I'm not going to listen. We're not going to do it. We're going to do everything to disobey that law. But look, before we even get there, why don't you just speak out and let your voice be heard? Let, you know, allow, and especially if legislation like this begins to come down, let your representatives know, you know, whatever, let people know that you are against it. But let me just say this. Here's a great thing that you should do if you are anti-vaccinations, is you should cut ties with the government as much as possible. Because here's the thing, and here's what I believe about vaccines, you know, and obviously I could be wrong about this. I'm not God. But I do not believe that they're going to go door to door forcing you to vaccinate your children. I mean, I don't think the government has the manpower, the resources, the ability to be able to go door to door and just force you to vaccinate your children. And here's a really good evidence to that. They don't even do that during the one world government, one world religion of the beast. They don't even go door to door and force people to take the mark of the beast. You know what they do? Is they connect it to something you want. They say, oh, you want to buy and sell? Well, you got to take the mark. And then people just line up to do it. They connect it to a government benefit. They say, you don't have to take the mark of the beast. You're just not going to be able to buy or sell anywhere. You're not going to be able to go into any store. So they connect it to a benefit, and then people do it. You know, even in the end times, they don't go door to door forcing people to take the mark of the beast. So I honestly do not believe that they're going to go door to door in the state of California and they're going to force people to take vaccinations. But you know what they are going to do? They're going to connect it to government benefits. They've already done that. They said, oh, you want your kids in the public school? You got to get vaccinated. You want to put your kids in some sort of public system? They need to get vaccinated. You know, here's the advice I give people who are anti-vaccines is cut ties with the government. I have kids that have never even been in my children. I think the only government facility that my kids have ever even been in is the library. You know, just down the street from our house, the public library. The only government institution that I like, the public library, where homeschoolers can just read their, you know, my kids love going to the library and come back with like 100 books each or whatever. But you know, my kids were born at home. Obviously, they have birth certificates, they have social security, never been in the public school. We reject every government system. There's government systems for homeschoolers where you can give the government your information and they give you money. Look, all that's well and good, but here's the thing. Now the government knows about your kids. You know, most of my kids never even been to a hospital. I think one of our kids went to the hospital one time for one thing. We have six kids, never even been to the hospital. We'll take them to a doctor that we trust, that we know, that is anti-vaccine. Those things. Here's what I'm telling you. Don't be this person who's like, oh, I'm afraid of vaccines. But then you're just signing up for every government benefit, every government handout, every government welfare. That's how they're going to get you. That's how they get them to take the mark of the beast. They connect it to a government benefit. They say, you want to buy or sell? You got to take the mark. So what are they going to do with vaccines? I believe they're just going to connect it to a government benefit. And look, it might come. I'm just telling you, it might come to the place where they say, oh, you want a driver's license? You got to get vaccinated. Oh, you want this or you want that from the government? You got to get vaccinated. And at that point, you're going to have to decide what you're going to do. But you know what? We have to obey God rather than men. We ought to just listen to what God says. I would cut ties with government as much as possible. I would cut ties with anything. I would try to make it so that the government doesn't even know my kids exist. So no doctor knows my kids exist. So there's no record of my children anywhere, because I honestly don't believe they're going to go door to door. And the main reason I believe that is because they don't even do that during the end times one world government. They just connect the mark of the beast to a government program. So let me just break it down to you. Avoid government programs. So, but it's free money. Are you going to sell out your kids for a little bit of cash? Mark chapter 2, look at verse 17. We'll finish here. Mark 2, 17. When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them. And this is Jesus speaking spiritually, but of course he's using a physical illustration. He says, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Look, if you're not sick, if you don't have the measles, if you don't have coronavirus, if you don't have whatever they're pushing, then you don't need a doctor. And you dead sure don't need a doctor that's going to try to infect you with it. They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. And he says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So we as Christians, I believe, and I think the Bible's clear, should not vaccinate our children, should not be vaccinated ourselves. And you say, why? Because vaccines are unclean. They are made up of the things that God tells you to avoid, death and disease, because vaccines are unethical. As a Christian, you can't be anti-abortions and for vaccines, since they use aborted babies to produce vaccines, and because vaccines are uncertain. They cause injury. You're taking a risk when you infect your children with it, and the reason is just the love of money. So if legislation comes down and they start trying to force us with these things, we should all stand up and say we ought to obey God rather than man. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the Bible. Lord, thank you for the fact that the Bible speaks to every issue of life. There's no issue of life that we can't find either a clear scripture about it, or we can't find principles that apply to it. But Lord, I pray you'd help us. Lord, and honestly, I don't want to just be one of these gainsayers who's just against everything. You know, if there's a legitimate disease out there and we can try to prevent it in non-harmful, non-sinful ways, like maybe shutting things down, shutting things up, and washing our hands, then I want to get on board with that. But Lord, these wicked devices like vaccinations that are injecting all sorts of unclean and unethical things into our children, Lord, help us as Christians to have the strength to stand up against it. And if legislation comes down, help us to disobey and to obey you. And Lord, I pray you'd give us the strength. But Lord, I pray that you'd help that to not even happen in our country. I pray that pastors would preach sermons like the sermon I'm preaching right now, that Christians would be vocal, that we would speak out, and that we would not even allow that to happen in our country. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.